Hey, welcome back. You're listening to The Rational Revolution. I'm Mark Becker. We've got my friend Daniel Olson. He's the owner of Forage Innovations, largest forage consultation company in the United States. What is forage?
Yeah, forage is what we feed the cows. So it's everything that isn't grain.
Okay.
So when we think of haylage, like alfalfa or grasses or corn silage, it's that part, which makes up maybe 60% of everything that a cow eats in a day.
It was fascinating. Daniel posted a picture the other day about, how many kernels are on a corn cob or whatever, yeah. What was healthy. And I had a really stupid question because I saw there was a tractor that was like chewing up the entire stalk of corn, leaves and all, kernel. And I was like, oh my God, what are they doing? How are they? And I asked the very, very stupid question. And you had some wonderfully kind people who could have said, you're a moron. But they were so nice and we're like, nope, that's what they eat, the whole thing.
Yep.
Holy cow. Yep. I didn't even know that.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. A good crop of corn can grow about 30 tons an acre of,
oh my God.
Of what we call corn silage. And that would be, it chops up the whole plant.
And you got to do it when it's green?
Yeah. So we wait till the grain is getting about ripe, but the plant is green yet. So you have sugars and moisture and it ferments.
So there's like alcohol?
Not really. There's not really an alcohol content because of the pH and stuff, but if you had alcohol, you'd have a problem in your fermentation.
Moonshine, you're feeding the cows.
Yeah. So back in the day, you remember these, you've seen these like upright silos,
the concrete silos.
Okay. We had those on our farm and we don't use them anymore, but there would be this like juice that would run out of the silo and it would kind of pool at the bottom after. And that would get an alcohol content. And the reason we found out is because the raccoons would come in there and they would like
drink
it at night and get drunk on the stuff. Yeah.
It's the bar. They're going to the Olson pub.
Yep.
So, no one like, so many places don't have those upright.
No.
Why not?
They just don't have the capacity. There takes too long to get stuff in, takes too long to get them out. And as farms have grown, there's just not enough capacity.
They're dangerous too.
They can be.
They can be. So what is, you're here, so I got a bunch of dumb questions. The farm, we have a farm behind us and the stalks are still there and it's brown. So what would they use that for?
They'll probably be combining the grain. So they'll just come in with a combine, which just takes the grain off of the cobs.
Okay.
And so that'll just be the cob or just the grain portion, not the whole plant.
This is just fascinating stuff. So anyway, we're talking about how farmers are doing it and the economic impact and all of that. We were talking on the other side about tariffs and all of, how that's impacting the global market. What is it doing to the price of cheese and milk at the grocery store?
Well, you're starting to see it come down. There's been some deals. I saw Festival had butter for $1.79 a pound.
Wow.
Of course, that's probably a little bit of a loss leader, but that's really about what the wholesale price is for butter right now. And cheese is what, $1.60 or something in Chicago right now on, if you want to buy a train car load.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sweet.
It keeps getting cheaper. I might have to do that. So there are some, everybody buys a vehicle and gets like a 40 pound block of cheese from you, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Prices are, we're starting to see that on the retail side, but too often consumers don't fully feel the downturn in that. Like, and I'm not sure exactly why, partially because there's just a lot of fixed cost in retail. You got the store, you got the transportation, you got the processing, the actual product makes up a percentage of that. But when that comes down, the consumer doesn't fully feel the benefits of that. But the farmer who produces it on a wholesale commodity certainly does.
So really the people that will feel the impact of that is the farms themselves.
Yeah, and the people who are involved in the egg community. Like, you know, I'm on both sides. I have a company that certainly benefits from working with farmers, but then we also milk cows ourselves.
Right.
And we have my family's involved in a couple different dairy farms. And so, yeah, we feel it on both sides.
What countries are coming in to fill that gap?
On the dairy side. Yeah. So Australia and New Zealand have always produced dairy, especially to Asian countries. They had a great relationship with China. The EU is actually up on dairy products, maybe 3% year on year. And that has not happened for a while. And then of course there's South America. There's other countries that have the ability to do it. And what we're doing is basically artificially raising their price because of the retaliatory tariffs on us.
That's crazy. It's interesting how, you look at this policy and I'm editorializing here, but you look at the policies of these tariffs and how, it's portrayed in the media and in his head as these are wonderful and beautiful and all these things are so great. Mm-hmm. But all we're doing is repeatedly shooting ourselves in the foot and letting everybody else that does the same darn thing come in and have a leg up in the competition.
Yeah, if everything was equal and we didn't export anything, we didn't import anything, it would be different, but it's just not the reality of where we are.
Right. We're talking with Daniel Olson, a dairy consultant here on the Rational Revolution. We're going to talk on the other side of the break about labor and what's going on with that as well. Stick around here on the Rational Revolution. I am Mark Becker.